Good evening and welcome. This is the November 13th, 2023 legislative session of the Salisbury City Council. In the event of an emergency, we ask that everyone remain calm and exit through the double doors to the parking lot located in the front corner of this building. If the doors are blocked, please exit through the doors to my right by pulling the fire alarm located to the right of the door under the monitor. Please let us know if you need assistance. At this time, we ask that everyone silence their phones. If you plan to speak during the public comment period at the end of this meeting, please fill out a form on the table near the door you came in and give to our city clerk, Julie. You will be allowed 4 minutes. Please stand for the Pledge of the Flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Gray Morris of Parkway Church of God will now provide our invocation. Pastor Morris, please come to the podium. Thank you.
Thank you for the privilege, Mayor Jack Heath, President, Vice President, Council members. Thank you for the opportunity to represent people of faith. The Parkway Church of God this past November the 10th celebrated the Parkway Church of God Day on the city calendar. And we have 104 years of influence in our community, and we consider it a great privilege to invoke God's presence upon the deliberations this evening. Almighty God, we come before you out of sincere reverence and humility, understanding that you are our creator. Created in your image and in your likeness, male and female, did you create us. This knowledge stirs our hearts to believe in greater things for ourselves and for our city. In our humanity, we often manifest our strengths and weaknesses in such a way that can be beneficial and sometimes detrimental. It is for this reason that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament taught us, first of all, foremost, above all, we are encouraged to make petitions, specific requests, prayers, intercessions, prayers of thanksgiving for all people. And we do that for our city this evening. We are to pray especially for those who have authority and rule over us. And he tells us to pray for these people so that we can have a quiet and peaceful life, always living out of godliness, reverence, and respect for one another. In an age of discontinuity, disruption, and disagreement, when there seems we cannot find common ground, we pray, God, that you would bring stability and cohesion among the ranks. In our prayers tonight, we include our council, April Jackson, President, Angela Blake, Vice President, Deshaun Doughty, Sharon DeShiel, Michelle Gregory. We pray that these city council members elected by the people, that you would grant them wisdom, integrity, strength, health, and favor as they collectively work for our new mayor to be announced at the different departments of our city government so that success would happen in the administration of our duties, that there would be great accomplishments for our city moving forward. Our city is a great city, and I'm thankful to serve this city as a pastor. It's a place where we have awesome opportunities, and yet we understand the gravity of this moment. As the gavel is passed, we know that we're to surrender our work to you, O God, that you might perfect it through us. We honor the outgoing mayor, Jack Heath, tonight. And we pray for him, O God. We pray that you would bless him in this new and different season of his life, that you would bring health and healing to him physically and emotionally in every way. You are the provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. Make your provisions known to Jack, we pray. We pray, God, in this season of thanksgiving, knowing that we're grateful for all that you have done. We're grateful for all that you are doing. We're grateful for for all that you will do as we place our trust in you. And we ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Morris. Could I have a motion and a second to adopt the legislative agenda, please?
So moved.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Could I have a motion to approve, a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Julie? Good exercise.
Yeah. Good evening, Council. We have a long consent agenda today. The meeting minutes for the consent agenda are as follows. September 18th, 2023, we have work session and special meeting minutes. We have September the 25th, 2023, council and closed session meeting minutes. And we have October the 2nd, 2023, special meeting and work session minutes. And then I am going to do the boards and commission a little bit different, hopefully to prevent repetition. So for the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, we have one reappointment. That is Resolution 3291 of Alexander Pope for a term ending November 2026. For Friends of Poplar Hill Mansion Board of Directors, we have two reappointments, both of which have terms ending November 2026. Resolution 3292 is for David Sheed. Resolution 3293 is for Virginia Hussey. And then Youth Development Advisory Committee, we have three new appointments. All three of them will have terms ending November 2026. It's Resolution 3294, appointing Kenesha LaCole. Resolution 3295, appointing Naria Miles. Resolution 3296, appointing Tara Obarski. For Public Art Committee, we have seven new appointments. We have the following are going to have a term ending November 2026. Resolution 3297, appointment of Brandon Bell. Resolution 3298, the appointment of KT Tuminello. Resolution 3299, the appointment of Heather McCarty. The following three will have term ending November 2025. Resolution 3300, appointment of Susan Holt. Resolution 3301, the appointment of Max Burbitz. Resolution 3302, the appointment of Shelley Cruz. And the final one for Public Art Committee will be the appointment of Mandel Copeland, term ending November 2024, resolution number 3303. For Sustainability Advisory Committee, we have a new appointment of Craig Fonts, term ending November 2026, resolution 3304. And finally, we have a new appointment for Parks and Recreation Committee, Resolution 3305. It is the appointment of Mark Flaunlacher, term ending November 2026.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor of the consent agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. 1 second, I have a question. So for meeting September 25th, is there a reason that it is Council President April Jackson and Council Vice President April Jackson on that agenda?
Is it?
Sorry.
Which meeting is
it? September 25th, the regular meeting minutes.
I will make that change.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I make a motion to approve with the?
As amended.
As amended.
So I motion to approve the consent agenda with the amended change to the September 25th agenda.
Second.
Second.
Sean? And Michelle.
Okay, all those in favor of the consent agenda, please signify by saying aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. Okay, I'd like to recognize those, and if they're here, would you please stand? Alexander Pope, David Sheen, Virginia Hussey, Kanisha Nicole, Naria Miles, Tara Obarski, Brandon Bell, KT Tumelo, Mandel Copeland, Max Verbitz, Shelley Cruz, Heather McCarthy, Susan Holt, Craig Foss, and Mark Clownlacker. Those are all the names I think I have. I would like to welcome you aboard and thank you all so much for committing yourselves to serve on our councils and our committees and our commissions. We thank you so much from the City of Salisbury. Thank you. Okay. Okay, Mr. Kitzrow. Okay, could I have a motion to approve resolution number 3290?
So moved.
Second.
Resolution number 3290, a resolution of the Council of the City of Salisbury, Maryland to authorize the mayor to enter into, on behalf of the City of Salisbury, an amended and restated land disposition agreement with Davis Strategic Development LLC, setting forth the terms and conditions governing the sale and redevelopment of Lot 3 and Lot 16. Whereas the mayor and the council of the City of Salisbury determined that there is surplus real property owned by the City of Salisbury that's to be redeveloped, and furthermore that there is a strong public need for increased infill development in the city. And whereas the mayor and city council previously approved the surplus sale and redevelopment of city parking lot number 16 and city parking lot number 3 in resolution 2848 and 2849, and whereas the city parking lot number 16 was sold to Davis Simpson Holdings LLC, and a disposition contract was executed on June 26, 2018. And whereas the third amendment to the disposition contract signed in June 2019, assigning the buyer's interest to BKR Holdings LLC, and BKR Holdings LLC is now known as Davis Strategic Development LLC. And whereas the city parking lot number 3 was sold to R. Miller Properties LLC, and a disposition contract was executed on August 7, 2018. And whereas the council previously approved the transfer of ownership of city parking lot number 3 from R. Miller Properties to Davis Strategic Development LLC in resolution 3026, subject to the terms and conditions previously set forth in the city parking lot number 3 disposition contract between the city and R. Miller Properties LLC. And whereas the deeds and disposition contracts required both the lot 16 and lot 3 properties to be developed as described in the individual disposition contracts, or the properties would revert to city ownership. And whereas for various reasons, including the global COVID-19 pandemic, Davis Strategic Development LLC purchase and redevelopment of the properties has been delayed, and the city and Davis Strategic Development LLC have agreed to amend their original LDA in its entirety as more particular set forth in the amended and restated land disposition agreement, and hereto and attached hereto and incorporated herein as Exhibit A, to provide the rights and obligations of the city and Davis Strategic Development with respect to the following: one, Davis Strategic Development LLC purchase of the properties as described in the amended LDA; two, add delayed performance penalties; three, remove terms that make obtaining financing prohibitive; and four, such other matters relating to Davis Strategic Development LLC purchase, lease, and redevelopment of the project, subject to the terms and conditions contained in the amended LDA. And whereas by resolution, the council, one, hereby approves the amended LDA and two hereby authorizes the mayor's execution therein on behalf of the city. And whereas upon the mayor's execution of the amended LDA on behalf of the city as authorized hereon, all of the terms set forth in the amended LDA shall be deemed and otherwise construed to supersede and replace in its entirety the original LDA, now therefore be resolved by the Council of the City of Salisbury, Maryland as follows. Section 1, the mayor is hereby authorized to execute on behalf of the City of Salisbury that certain amended and restated land disposition agreement by and between the City of Salisbury and Davis Strategic Development LLC attached hereto incorporated herein as Exhibit A. Section 2, it is the intention of the mayor and council of the City of Salisbury that each provision of this resolution shall be deemed independent of all other provisions herein. Section 3 is further the intention of the mayor and the council of the City of Salisbury that if any section, paragraph, subsection, clause, or provision of this resolution shall be adjudged invalid, unconstitutional, or otherwise unenforceable under applicable law or Maryland or federal law, such adjudication shall apply only to the section, paragraph, subsection, clause, or provision such adjudged, and all other provisions of this resolution shall remain and shall be deemed valid and enforceable. Section 4, the recital set forth herein in Exhibit A here attached hereto and all other exhibits attached thereto and incorporated therein are incorporated into this section of the ordinance as if such recitals in Exhibit A was specifically set forth at length in this section 4. Thank you.
Are there any questions or comments?
So I do have a question. Could you, Mr. Kitzrow, could you explain to the public what happens given this agreement if Davis Strategic Development does not hold up their end, so to speak, of the bargain and their agreement to develop Lot 16 and Lot 3?
Sure. As we had mentioned, and it is in within your packet, if you look in the restated LDA, there is what we're calling performance penalties, and that outlines, it's called delayed performance penalties, and it details what would happen if they do not meet those obligations set forth. Those delayed penalties to the city may assess against the developer under this section 3.7 shall not exceed $300,000. And that starts at $3,000 for each and every month the developer remains in default of its obligation with a maximum of $300,000. Did that answer?
Any other questions, comments? Okay, all those in favor, would you please signify 3290 resolution? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. Could I have Ashley, City Attorney Ashley Roche?
Good evening.
Good evening. Could I have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 2835 for second reading?
So moved.
Second.
Megan, was that you?
Yes.
Okay, Ms. Boucher, present.
Ordinance number 2835, an ordinance of the City of Salisbury authorizing the mayor to appropriate funds for land acquisition for North Prong Park project. This is before you for second reading. There have been no changes or amendments since first reading.
Are there any questions or comments on this ordinance? All those in favor of ordinance number 2835 for second reading, please signify by saying aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. Could I have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 2836 for second reading?
So moved.
Second.
Andrew.
Ordinance number 2836, an ordinance of the City of Salisbury to set fees for FY 2024 and thereafter, and unless and until subsequently revised or changed. As a refresher, this is just a revision to the annexation fees. This is before you for second reading. There's been no changes or amendments since first reading.
Okay, could I have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 2836 for second reading? Oh, I don't need a motion. No, I'm going to say, I call for the vote. I'm sorry. I call for the vote to approve ordinance number 2836 for second reading. I apologize.
Aye.
Aye. And nobody else voted?
I didn't hear the formal statement. Sorry, I didn't say.
Yes, could you repeat?
Yes, second. All those in favor of ordinance number 2836 for second reading, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Okay, could I have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 2837 for second reading?
So moved.
Second.
Who was that, Megan?
Megan got first.
Okay.
Ordinance number 2837, an ordinance of the City of Salisbury authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Wacomico County Health Department and approving a budget amendment of the FY 2024 general fund budget to appropriate funds received from the Wacomico County Health Department in the amount of $10,000. This is before you for second reading. No changes or amendments since first reading.
Are there any questions or comments or anything reference to this? Okay. All those in favor of ordinance number 2837 for second reading, please signify by saying aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. Could I have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 2838 for the first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Ashley.
Ordinance number 2838, this is an ordinance of the City of Salisbury approving a budget amendment to appropriate funds for the Maryland Folk Festival. Whereas the City of Salisbury is planning the 2024 Maryland Folk Festival, and whereas the Arts, Business, and Culture Department has determined $589,700 in appropriations are required for the 2024 Maryland Folk Festival exclusive of grant funding. And whereas the city has also determined that $85,012 must be transferred from the general fund in addition to the revenues estimated from the program for the 2024 Maryland Folk Festival. And whereas the appropriations as provided herein must be made upon the recommendation of the mayor and the approval of four-fifths of the council, Section 1 of Ordinance 2838 reads, Acting Mayor John R. Heath is hereby authorized to appropriate funds for the 2024 Maryland Folk Festival in the amount of $589,700. Section 2, the City of Salisbury's FY24 general fund budget be and hereby is amended as follows. Increase revenue for account 01000-469810 for account description current year surplus in the amount of $85,012. Increase expenditure for account 91001-599105 for description transfer special revenue fund by that same amount, which is $85,012. Section 3, the City of Salisbury's Maryland Folk Festival Special Revenue Fund be and hereby is amended as set forth. Increase revenue for account 10125-469110 for account description transfers from general fund in the amount of $85,012. Increase revenue for various accounts, which are the anticipated revenues as set forth in Exhibit A, which is attached to this ordinance and made part of the agenda. And that comes to the total amount of $504,688. Increase expenditure also for various accounts for the description 2024 Maryland Folk Festival and the total amount of $589,700.
Okay, any questions or comments?
No.
All those in favor of ordinance number 2838 for first reading, please signify by saying aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. Could I have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 2839 for first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Bushell?
Ordinance number 2839, an ordinance of the City of Salisbury to accept grant funds from the Maryland Department of General Services in the amount of $4 million for infrastructure improvements. Whereas the city declared municipal parking lot 10, referred to as lot 10, surplus property on November 14th, 2016, and whereas by a majority vote of the council of the city entered into a contract of sale for lot 10, which was resolution number 3212, for the purpose of redeveloping a mixed use of the site, including construction of a hotel, conference center, residential units, and retail shops. And whereas lot 10 would require significant infrastructure improvements to accommodate the redevelopment plan, and whereas the City of Salisbury applied for a grant funding opportunity with the Maryland Department of General Services, HAGO seeking $4 million, which if awarded was to be allocated to infrastructure improvements in the city, And whereas DGS has awarded the city $4 million in grant funds for infrastructure improvements, and whereas no expenditures of the aforementioned grant funding will be permitted until all conditions of the pre-award processes are met, such as a fully executed subrecipient agreement with Mentis Lot 10 LLC, who is a subrecipient of the funding and the owner of Lot 10. And whereas the city departments will ensure that contracts and bids will be obtained pursuant to the terms of the grant agreement when issued, and whereas the appropriations necessary to execute the purpose of this grant must be made upon the recommendation of the mayor and the approval of 4/5 of the council, Section 1 of Ordinance 2839 reads, Acting Mayor John R. Heath is hereby authorized to establish a grant account for DGS on behalf of the city for the city's acceptance of the capital grant monies in the total amount of $4 million. Section 2, the City of Salisbury's grant fund budget being hereby is amended as follows. Increase DGS revenue account 10500-426000-XXXXX by $3 million. Increase construction expense account 10500-513026-XXXXX by $3 million. Increase DGS revenue account 10500-426000-XXXXX by $1 million. And increase construction expense account 10500-513026-XXXXX by $1 million.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor of ordinance number 2839 for first reading, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Okay. Could I have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 2840 for first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Boucher?
Ordinance number 2840, this one's a doozy. I'm going to do my best to expedite it by calling attention to these changes. This is an ordinance of the City of Salisbury amending section 1704120 of the Salisbury City Code to include definitions for adult use cannabis businesses and amending section 17.36.040, 17.36045, 17.36060, 17.76020, 17.75.025, 17.76.050, 17.80.040, and 17.80.060 of the Salisbury City Code to regulate cannabis businesses to include growing, processing, and dispensing, and to prohibit on-site consumption of establishments. Whereas the ongoing application, administration, enforcement of Title 17, which governs zoning of the city code, demonstrates a need for its periodic review, evaluation, and amendment in order to keep the provisions of Title 17 current, comply with present community standards and values, and to promote the public safety, health, and welfare of the citizens of the city. Whereas mayor and council are authorized by Maryland Code Local Government Article annotated Section 5-202 to adopt such ordinances not contrary to the Constitution of Maryland, public general law, or public local law, as mayor and council deem necessary to assure the good government of the municipality, to preserve peace and order, to secure persons and property from damage and destruction, and to protect the health, comfort, and convenience of the citizens of the city. Whereas mayor and council may amend Title 17 of the City Code pursuant to the authority granted in Maryland Code annotated Land Use Article Section 4-102, subject to the provisions set forth in Section 17.228.020. Whereas Maryland voters approved a ballot referendum in the 2022 general election to allow use of cannabis by adults 21 and older, hence referred to as adult use, starting July 1, 2023. During the 2023 legislative session, the General Assembly passed legislation that provided a framework for implementing legal adult use sales, including a licenses and taxation framework. The Cannabis Reform Act, which took effect immediately upon the governor's signature on May 3, 2023, authorized existing licensed dispensary to convert their licenses for dual medical and adult sale use by July 1, thereby creating a legal adult use marketplace as of July 1, 2023. The act also authorized the Maryland Cannabis Administration to issue additional grower, processing, and dispensary license and new incubator licenses over two licensing grounds. Whereas in accordance with the Cannabis Reform Act, and to assure the good government of the municipality, mayor and council find it necessary and reasonable to amend Title 17 of the City Code to regulate cannabis businesses and the general commercial, light industrial, and industrial park zoning districts. Rest pursuant to Section 17.228.020 of the Salisbury City Code, any amendment to the Salisbury Zoning Code requires the recommendation of the Salisbury Planning and Zoning Commission prior to the passage of an ordinance amending Sections 17.04.120, 17.36.040, 17.36.045, 17.36.060, 17.76.020, 17.26.025, 17.76.050, 17.80.040, and 17.80.060. So those are all the chapters we will be amending as I get to it. Whereas a public hearing on the proposed amendment was held by the Planning Commission in accordance with the provisions of Section 17.228.020 of the City Code on October 19th of 2023. Whereas at the conclusion of that October 19th meeting, the Planning Commission recommended by a vote of 6-0 that the amendments to the following sections, which I've already highlighted for you, of the City Code be set forth and approved by the Mayor and Council. Whereas Mayor and Council have determined that the amendments to those aforementioned sections of the City Code shall be adopted as set forth. So Section 1 of this Ordinance 2840 reads as follows. I will be highlighting for you the bolded and underlined language in your agenda packet. These are what the provisions that will be added to our code. Section 1 is governing definitions, and the following definitions will be added. Cannabis means plant cannabis in any part of the plant, including all derivatives, extracts, cannabinoids, isomers, acids, salts, and salts of isomers, whether growing or not, with a delta 9 something very scientific concentration greater of 0.03% on a dry weight basis. Cannabis includes cannabis products. Cannabis does not include hemp or hemp products as defined in Section 14.010 of the Agriculture Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland. Cannabis Administration means the Maryland Cannabis Administration established under Title 36 of the Alcoholic Beverages and Cannabis Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland. Cannabis Business means a business licensed or registered by the Cannabis Administration to operate in the cannabis industry. This includes but is not limited to a grower, processor, or dispensary, to include an on-site consumption establishment licensed under Title 36 of the Alcoholic Beverages and Cannabis Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland. A cannabis business not enumerated as a use, permitted, or otherwise in this title is prohibited within the City of Salisbury. Cannabis delivery service means a cannabis licensee authorized to deliver cannabis in accordance with a cannabis microlicense to operate a cannabis dispensary. A cannabis dispensary means any entity licensed under Title 36 of the Alcoholic Beverages and Cannabis Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland that acquires, processes, repackages, transfers, repackages, transports, sells, distributes, or dispenses cannabis or cannabis products included tinctures, aerosols, oils, and ointments, related supplies, and educational materials for use by qualifying patients, caregivers, or consumers through a storefront or through a delivery service based on license type. Cannabis grower means an entity licensed under Title 36 of the Alcoholic Beverages Cannabis Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland that cultivates or packages cannabis and is authorized by the Cannabis Administration to provide cannabis to other cannabis licensees and registered independent testing laboratories. A cannabis microlicense means a microlicense issued in accordance with Chapter 36.401(c)(2) of the Alcoholic Beverages Cannabis Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland. Cannabis on-site consumption establishment means an entity licensed under Section 36.401(c)(4) of the Alcoholic Beverages and Cannabis Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland to distribute cannabis or cannabis products for on-site consumption other than consumption by smoking indoors. A cannabis on-site consumption establishment is prohibited within the City of Salisbury. A cannabis processor means a licensed entity that, one, transforms cannabis into another product or an extract and packages and labels the cannabis product, and two, is authorized by the administration to provide cannabis to licensed dispensaries and registered independent testing laboratories. A recreation center is defined to include both recreational establishments, indoor, and recreational establishments outdoor as defined in this chapter. And those are all the definitions. Drawing your attention now to line 100, which adds subsection 8 to 17.36.040, which governs uses permitted by ordinance permit. We are adding a cannabis dispensary in accordance with the following in Section 17.36.060 Development Standards. One, a cannabis onsite consumption establishment is prohibited. Now moving to lines 108, Chapter 17.36, governing general commercial district, and specifically subsection 0.045, prohibited uses, adding subsection B, a cannabis on-site consumption establishment as defined in this article shall be prohibited. Moving forwards to lines 141, we are adding to the chapter 17.36.060 for development standards and the general commercial district. We're adding subsection J, cannabis dispensary. One, may not be located within 500 feet of a pre-existing primary or secondary school in the state or a licensed child care center or registered family child care home, or B, a playground, recreation center, library, church, or public park, or C, 1,000 feet of another cannabis business. Two, the city council may reduce the 500-foot setback by no more than 50% as part of the ordinance permit following a recommendation from the Planning Commission. Three, parking standards shall be established by the City Council and the ordinance permit following a recommendation from the Planning Commission. Four, may not be located adjacent to a residential use. And five, an ordinance permit approving a cannabis dispensary which shall remain idle and unused for a continuous period of more than 1 year shall be considered null and void. Moving forward to line 208, we are adding a subsection 36 to chapter, to section 17.76.020, which is permitted use for the light industrial district. Section 36 added will read, cannabis grower and or processor in accordance with the following and chapter 17.76.050, a cannabis on-site consumption establishment is prohibited. We are striking subsection B, which governs uses permitted by special exception. The next changes are located starting with lines 222, which are changes to chapter 17.76.025, governing uses permitted by special exception for the light industrial district. So the uses permitted by special exception shall be as follows. We are adding B, restaurant, C, gasoline services facilities with convenience good clearly incidental to the gas facility, D, daycare center and nursery school in accordance with chapter 17.220, E, daycare facilities for the elderly and handicapped, and F, outdoor storage yard in accordance with section 17.220.040. The next changes are in line 258, which is to chapter 17.76.050, governing development standards and the light industrial district. Those changes are adding subsection I, a cannabis grower and or producer may not be located within 500 feet of a pre-existing primary or secondary school in the state or a licensed school or a licensed child care center or registered family child care home, or B, a playground, recreation center, library, church, or public park, or C, 1,000 feet of another cannabis business. Two, may not be located adjacent to a residential use. Those same additions that I just read to you are found in lines 296 through 303, and which is governing chapter 17.80.040, which are general standards and requirements for the industrial park district, so the difference being where they are located. And the final change is located on line 310, which is to chapter 17.80.060, which is permitted use in the industrial park district. And we are adding that cannabis grower and or producer shall also be permitted.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions or comments?
Do you need water?
Yeah, do you need my water? Are there any questions or comments on this ordinance? All those in favor of ordinance number 2840 for first reading, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And the chair votes aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
It is now time for public comment. Do I have those names? Do we? I have Mrs. Carolyn Withermo. Could you please come forward? And you have approximately 4 minutes.
My name is Carolyn Wogmuth. I'm a city resident. Resolution 3290, which you just passed, should not have been on today's agenda. It should have been tabled for at least a week. That simple courtesy should have been extended to the new mayor and the new councilwoman who will be on board 1 week from today. So what's the urgency? After all, the original LDAs date back 6 years to 2017, with this fourth resolution constituting basically a whole new LDA. Having spent much time and effort researching this, I learned that the developer, listed as multiple different LLCs, keeps getting better deals as time marches on. He wanted to take full advantage of the Horizon and Here's Home programs, as well as enterprise zone benefits. His original 2017 bid for Lot 3 was $25,000. He ended up paying $5,000 for it. His original 2017 bid for Lot 16 was $100,000. He ended up paying $15,000 for it. By the way, the assessed value for these two lots in 2017 was $500,000. So that's $20,000 total for lots valued at $500,000. Quite the deal. Someone needs to review RFP 15-17, as something was very wrong regarding the award of property to a developer for much less than he bid on it. Who does that and why? In those previous LDAs, and herein lies the urgency, was a clause to protect the city, a right of reversion clause in the deeds for conveyance. So here's the real reason why the current acting mayor, the city administrator, and city council members who all voted for this and wanted to push it through tonight before a new elected mayor is on board. They wanted to eliminate this protection, city taxpayer protection, in favor of the developer who will pay a pittance for waterfront property and have no obligation to comply with the terms of all previous LDAs. This is what you just did, and it was not to the benefit of city taxpayers. The question's why? Why would you do that? Were you negligent in your due diligence of understanding this new LDA? Or did you merely acquiesce to a former mayor's old game plan? Or was there some quid pro quo involved? Or was it all of the above? After all, transparency has not been a hallmark of this council. In closing, I would like to note that it is unfortunate that public comments are not allowed before you vote on important issues. Knowing this, I sent an email to all council members in hopes that you would table this resolution. Obviously, that was not even considered. I did receive one response from Ms. Jackson, but nary an acknowledgement of receipt from the other council members.
Thank you. Lisa Gendrick.
Lisa Gingrich, excuse me, Lisa Gingrich, 316 North Division. One thing that I'd like to note, especially given the recent election, is that four of the six people sitting here tonight from the mayor and the city council were initially appointed as opposed to initially elected. And then when they did go for reelection, it was with incumbency in their corner, which we all know is very important. One thing I would like to note also to outgoing Mayor Heath is that we have noticed the disdain with which you've talked to us and the attitude you seem to have had. It's just there. Okay, we've noticed it. Michelle Gregory, you're staying on the council. We've noticed that you blew us off for the when you were invited to the Newtown Association, and then also that you agree with people who call us racists, your constituents racists. So, you know, we notice things like that, and then you roll your eyeballs at somebody who says hello to you on election day. Same thing with outgoing council member Alton that blew us off twice when she was invited as well. There was a Mike Dunn interview that said that the results showed that 2/3 of the city didn't vote for Randy, therefore they like the direction the city's going in. And I'd like to change that around, that it was Jermichael Mitchell was not part of what the city's been doing, so that I don't think it's 2/3 went like the way the city's going, 2/3 don't like the city, the way the city's been going, because they didn't vote for the candidate that represents continuing same old, same old. And I do hope that the city council that settles in, that you see an opportunity for a new approach. The same problems keep coming up again and again, affordable housing, jobs, et cetera, trash trucks that don't get the maintenance that they need. There's a street sweeper that has grass growing out from underneath it, but plenty of time and money for the vanity projects. And you know, a lot of people in the city don't vote. I don't know how to change that, but it would just be really nice if you take this opportunity to pay attention to more than just with the little narrow field that has been paid attention to, overpaid attention to, and more attention get paid to the people, the things that actually matter in their everyday life. And that would be really nice to see. It'd be nice to see a genuinely civic-minded city council. I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Mr. Robert Taylor.
Oh, good evening, Robert Taylor, Salisbury resident and taxpayer for many years. Where to start? I didn't come to speak about the sale of the lots, but when I heard Mr. Kittrow describing the penalties for non-performance, I almost gagged. They're really meaningless. The property would probably be subject very shortly to a construction loan that would be a prior lien on it. So if those penalties were assessed, there would be nothing there. They would be behind the construction loan. As far as the LLC is concerned, if it's like every other development LLC other than the property, it will have no significant value. So you couldn't collect anything. It would declare bankruptcy. The city would get nothing. This shows the quality of legal advice, I think, that the council operates under. And I did do development loans. I did do title insurance. I was an issuing agent. And I also did collections, so I think I know what I'm speaking of. It's really shocking. I did bring an exhibit with me tonight. It was used last week in the Board of Appeals hearing, where the Board of Appeals denied the special exception request for the Salisbury Town Center on the three lots. And I brought it with me it's from April the 4th of this year. It's from Google Earth. It shows 260 some cars parked on lot 1, lot 11, lot 15. Here's the parking garage, here's the building we're in, just to give you some orientation. How can you possibly say that those lots are surplus when there are that many cars parked there on just a typical day? I didn't make this photo up. I pulled it up off of Google Earth. It's the most recent one on Google Earth, 6 or 7 months ago. So that to consider those surplus is absurd. To consider the lots that you're selling tonight as surplus is absurd. I walked by there the other day. I counted 42 cars I didn't bring the photo from April the 4th on Google, but there were 49 cars, I counted them, that day, more or less 80-90% of the lot filled. How can you possibly call that surplus? It's absurd. I also wanted to mention some of the malarkey that we've heard from Mike Dunn. We heard a little bit about that earlier. On his recent broadcast with Greg Bassett, he reiterated this idea that this is a tertiary market for lenders, which is absurd. I brought with me some things that I was involved in when I did settlements. Here's the center at Salisbury. The first loan was for $9.5 million. The next loan, about a week after, was for $59 million and change. And the final loan, a little bit later, was for $13 million. That's about $80 million. Now, a little bank did that called Chase Manhattan in a little town called New York. Here's another one that I did. This is for the University Orchard student housing. This was done by U.S. Bank, a little bank up in Philly, small town. It's for $43 million and change. So the idea that banks won't lend on projects in Salisbury because it's a tertiary market is just plain bullshit, as my mom would say. Sorry to use my French. And that's what we've heard for this council and with this former mayor for 8 years. And it's just about ruined this city. Good night and thank you.
Thank you. We will now have administrative comments. Mayor Heath?
May I, sir? I only have one thing. Jack, it's been an honor and pleasure working with you, so thank you. And I will yield the rest of my time to you.
Thank you, Andy. During the last few months, we have had roughly 25 citizens coming to our meetings, always speaking on the same topics. Going forward, I'm talking to the current council and the future council and the future mayor. Going forward, please keep in mind that we have approximately 34,000 citizens in this city, and over 17,000 of them are registered voters. And yes, it's sad that we have such a low turnout to vote, which means that none of us that have been elected going back decades has a true mandate from our citizens. As I draw near the end of my political involvement in the city, I would like to make a couple of points and offer a couple of cautions. First, the Lot 1 issue has nothing to do with parking lots. It's about business 101, supply and demand. Let's be clear, we have a significant housing shortage in this city. There is a special interest group that doesn't want any more housing developments. You ask why? Why? Because more construction would increase the supply and put pressure on what they could charge their tenants. In fairness, let me point out that this does not include all landlords. If the shoe fits, wear it. We all remember what happened during COVID when the supply of cars decreased significantly. And you know what happened to the prices. And they did not come down until the supply increased. It is the same for housing. So my first caution. Developers spend significant money before any development is proposed. If they believe that development is not wanted in our city, they will gladly go somewhere else. I had a developer call me last week that has two pending low-income housing projects in the works. One of our greatest needs. And he asked me from my opinion, if you should move on and forget about them because of the latest actions with Lot 1. I had no answer. If the developers feel they are not wanted, they will move on to other projects and will return to the days of empty storefronts on Main Street. My second caution. This past year, the city has received $25 million in grants from the state and federal government, of which we were criticized for routinely by the 25 people that attend our meetings. Nothing from the 34,000 that live in the city and rely on us. Most of these grants are for infrastructure and public safety. If these funds are not used, the city runs the risk of rejections for future grant applications. It sends the wrong message to the state and federal government. Finally, I want to personally thank the city team, the city council, the mayor's staff, the city clerk's office, and especially Administrator Andrew Kittstrow for their support. I have enjoyed my almost 9 years in service to the city of Salisbury. I wish the best to the new mayor and council. Thank you, and may God bless Salisbury.
Okay. Megan.
All right. I'm sorry I'm not going to speak long because I am still recovering from a cold this weekend. So as always, thanks for everyone who comes out to speak. It's important for us to get the feedback, and you may disagree with me, but time and time again, I'll always thank you all for coming out. And then I just want to thank everyone else here on the council. This will be my last week with you all, at least at the council. But know that I will always be here in the community. It has been a joy working alongside of you. It's been a joy getting connected with the members of this community. So thank you for this opportunity.
Angela.
Jack, there are no words. Thank you for being a great steward of the city. Thank you for being a wonderful mentor. And you will be missed terribly. That's a lot of time and dedication to our city, and you've made a lot of tremendous contributions to the city. I do want to reiterate and congratulate Michelle Gregory, April Jackson, myself, Deshaun LaDowd. We were reelected and with quite a bit of margin, and that two-thirds, if you do math, I did do fractions today with a student, helped them do fractions, and I, you know, did a pie with two-thirds, and that's a lot of the pie. So, you know, we shall see how this all pans out and how we roll forward and move forward, and I think the council here and myself are looking forward to, I think it's next Monday evening, mm-hmm. and moving forward and keeping Salisbury moving forgot
the blood bank.
Oh yes, thank you. And of course, as always, if you are healthy enough, please donate blood. Thank you very much.
Okay, Deshaun.
So I want to acknowledge Mr. Heath as well. In my short tenure of knowing him, he's been wonderful to receive advice from, and a wonderful person. So I appreciate you, and I wish you the best. I believe it was Ms. Gingrich who said that the council should remain civic first, and I believe that wholeheartedly. And so thank you for underscoring, and thank you for keeping us accountable to be civic-minded first, as we are public servants. And I've had a busy week since the election. I've proudly volunteered at the Junior Achievement Center, which I'm a board member of, and attended a community prayer vigil, and went to Village of Hope fundraiser. So the work does not stop just after the election. So, but thank you for saying that and keeping us accountable. I also want to acknowledge the South Salisbury Fire Department. I've seen a lot of good buzz on social media. So thank you all for the hard work you all continue to do, and that you recognize your associates under you. I've seen a lot of good work, so thank you all for that. And I appreciate my council members now, and of course you, Megan, even though it's been a short time, but also looking forward to new council member and new mayor for us to have the same goal of moving forward. And I didn't realize I was an incumbent until the news article was written, so, even though I was appointed. So, but I appreciate you all, and still looking forward to moving Salisbury forward.
I want to join the thanks to Mayor Heath. When I was the only new kid on the block back in 2019, Jack took me out to breakfast and kind of explained the ropes. And without having that kind of guidance, a few months later when we went into COVID, something that I was not anticipating on in any stretch of the imagination, and the council united together behind Jack to do good for our city, to do good for our residents, to take care of our residents. And I am very grateful for the guidance and for the leadership that we have had with Jack. I am very grateful to be able to come back and serve for another 4 years. And for that, I thank the folks of District 4. I do want to say that this morning, my father-in-law, after a long battle with dementia, passed away. And I just want to put a thanks out to Coastal Hospice on the lake, who spent over the past 6 months, have spent many hours, days helping care for him, making sure he was comfortable, making sure that my mother-in-law was comfortable, and providing her with the tools she needed to make his transition from this world an easier one. So with that, I just want to thank everybody, and I'm looking forward to what the future holds.
Okay, it's my turn. Oh, well, Papa Bear, Jack. That's what he's been from day one, with my 8-year tenure. He's been a guiding force. I can honestly say that he has. He's kept us where we need to be. He's going to be missed. Yes, he is. He's definitely going to be missed. I'm so sorry that he had some health issues, because I know that he would have tarried on with us. However, his family and himself have done the right thing, because I'm going to tell you, this job can be very stressful, and it is very stressful to a point. I don't know how people look at us and view us, but I do know that I think about the people. Mm-hmm. I do. And I'm thinking that we all come together, and we think about the people. We may think about the people in different aspects of life, but I know my grounded force is to do what is right by people. Always has been and always will be. That's me. If I don't have an agenda, the people are my agenda. And that's, like I said, this is where I've always been. I grew up like that, and I've always been a people person. May not say much at times, but I try to do what's best for everyone. We cannot always satisfy everybody. The world is like that, and we all know that. We can't. It's impossible. But we try our very best. Megan, gonna miss you. But that doesn't mean that you still can't work with us. You know, even though you're not a council member anymore, that doesn't mean that you cannot help us in different areas that we may need help in. So you're always welcome to be, and you'll always be a part of this council. So I just want you to know that. You know, we may not have always agreed on everything, and we're not going to agree on everything, but we have to agree to disagree. And that's what we've done. We've been one of the most compromising groups of people I've ever seen. And I think just here this year, we became kind of rattled, kind of, sort of, but I'm looking for us to come out and do the best, do our very, very best, become that council that, and I'm not saying that we haven't been that council, but put our best foot forward, put our minds together, and do what is best for the people. However, like I said, we cannot please every single person. It's impossible. Andy, I worked with you for how many years? It's been 18 years, and he's been a commendable young man. I can actually say that. I mean, I worked with him through the county, and I worked with him through the city, and he's always remained the same. And we basically have our council back, except for we have Ms. Sharon, Councilwoman Sharon DeShields, that will be sitting here with us, and we have our mayor, Mr. Randy Taylor, and we're going to work with him. That's what we're here for. It doesn't matter what party affiliation you are. What matters is the people. It doesn't matter. We need to do what's best for our people, the citizens of Salisbury. So with that, I'd be saying, Jack, we're going to miss you. He's down there looking. What you trying to? You don't want to hear this?
No.
No, you don't. I know you don't. And we're going to miss our sixth council person over there in that corner, his wife Linda, who is always with us on every angle. I mean, she is. And we're going to miss you all. And like I said, don't ever hesitate to keep in touch with us and come to the meetings. But relax and enjoy the rest of your life. Thank you, everyone. This meeting is now adjourned.